Tony, is that you?
Hello.
Hi, Tony. It's Alcinia Hutzler.
How
are you?
Hi.
How are you doing?
This is fun, isn't this?
Oh, yeah. So I haven't been on a meeting in a while, but I wanted to let the board know, and I don't know how to do that. I started an LLC. I broke off from the schools, and I am now supporting or trying to help support the massage therapy world and the board by helping with applications and renewals, good causes, fingerprint clearance. So basically, I was getting a lot of calls from school, from people in the streets needing support. And I know the board is has been busy. It's very busy. So I started an LLC, Everything Massage Therapy, where some of the massage studios and spas are having their massage therapists that need renewals come to me, and I'm helping them with that. So it's kind of like a support system for the board.
I see. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I just heard some things that the board was possibly joining with the barbering board, so I didn't know how all that worked.
This call is now being recorded.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. They're going to go over all that today, I believe.
Yeah, I figured they would.
Yeah. So you're welcome. Welcome.
Absolutely. I just wanted to get it out there. Everything Massage Therapy LLC, I've started to take on individuals that have need support, that are lost in the process of the application. So that's what I've started to do with those individuals. So giving, so I am a therapist myself. So people are like, I don't know what to do. I have to do my fingerprint clearance, or I got denied, or so they can call me and I can offer that type of support for them.
Yeah.
But anyways, all right. Well, I will look forward to joining the meeting here in a little bit.
Okay.
Thank you.
Hi, Tony. I have a question for you. It says that the chat is unavailable. Is that because the meeting has not actually officially begun yet, or is that not going to be available at all today?
It's not available, but we can. What does it say now?
Now it says messages are being recorded and I can send a message. I just wanted to place a link
good
call. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. It's 10 o'clock, so I guess I'll call the meeting in session here. It looks like everybody is present, so that's great. Good morning, everyone. Mara here. Hope you're all having a great day so far. I was just doing some additional preparation for the meeting, and Marsha had posted a really great handout in social media about how a bill becomes law, and so I posted the link to that in the chat for everyone to have access to, because I thought that was a very useful handout to go along with today's meeting. I saw Tom was here. Okay, so he's here as well. All right, good. So everybody's here. I don't believe we need to do a roll call for this meeting. So I think we'll just kind of jump in. There was only one line item on the agenda for today, and that's the HB 2169 follow-up from the committee hearing that happened last week, and to determine what the board and staff needed from this advisory committee going forward. I did want to open, and forgive me, I'm turning my head so that I can read from my other computer here. The board chair, Angela Ryder, who could not be here today, did send an email to me, and she asked me to share some information with the group. I believe most everyone in the group and on the actual committee did receive the email from her about our parameters and our functions. We're not a lobbying organization and or committee or any of that sort of thing. We're here as an advisory group, so I believe you all saw that email and commented receipt of that. This is the second email where she had a question that was posed to her numerous times from a variety of stakeholders, And I'm just going to read it for so that it's on record as having been included with this meeting since she was unable to attend. It says, the question that has been asked numerous times from stakeholders, including myself, is what is the difference between the level one clearance card and the FBI background check, and why do we need both? She said, here is the answer to that question. The FBI background check provides details on arrests and convictions, as well as arrests of moral turpitude that have been pled down to a lesser offense. Example, an individual gets arrested for prostitution and pleads down to trespassing. This is very common. The investigator gets to see this detailed information and then launches an investigation. If one is applying for licensure in Arizona, and the board goes through the process of determining if they should have a license or not based on behavior, not necessarily the conviction. Level one clearance cards provide real-time information that one has been arrested, and that information is immediately reported to the board that the individual card is registered with. Example, if one had previously been arrested for prostitution and pled down to trespassing, not an act of moral turpitude, and they were able to get a good faith exemption because they were not convicted, the board would never know or have access to that information and would have not good cause to investigate or not issue a license. All other health-related boards require FBI background checks, and some or most also require the clearance cards. It is a requirement when working with vulnerable populations, as well as additional measures to protect the public. Both are necessary. If there is a question if we need both, the answer for me is a clear yes. We want to be recognized as health providers, as most indicated and testified to this as well. So, for the record, I've read Angela's input. Were there any questions relating to that had been posed relating to the necessity of an FBI background check and of the fingerprint clearance card? Okay, great. So moving on to the hearing from last Wednesday in HB 2169 and the handout that Marcia shared on social media. Let me pull it back up over here. As she stated in her post, we are on stage three of this process right now. So it is unclear to me at this point what the chair would like us to provide for her and the board, as well as for the staff on the next steps. I do know that a variety of people on this advisory committee are also acting as citizen lobbyists and having meetings and contacting the different parties involved, which is great. There's no issue with any of that, but obviously that is a separate action aside from this particular committee. But this committee needs to be aware that we are on step three, where the committee hearing was held, and now it goes on to the House reading and caucuses. So does anyone on the board staff or anyone who is here representing the massage board have any needs of this committee going into these next steps of this bill process? Okay. Does anybody who is on the committee or who is attending this meeting have any questions of this advisory board? Great. Is there anybody who is attending today or who is on the advisory committee have any information to share at this time about anything that they've learned about where this bill stands in this moment from that would be pertinent for this committee to know so that we can assist in whatever way we are allowed to do so? Stephanie, nothing?
I will share, yes. So I think that one of the main things that Representative Gunn is looking at and really would like to see solved are some of the issues surrounding the speed of licensing. So we have given him so many suggestions of things that I think that we could do as the advisory committee that would help that, that wouldn't cost any money. And it's some of the stuff that we've already talked about before, like creating a video for licensees to walk them through the process, right? Getting the website a little bit more up to date as far as what we can do with it, because I know that there's some limitations on what can be done with the website, but using those spaces where we can update the website and kind of putting together a plan for that to make it a little bit more user-friendly and a little bit more easy to navigate. And I know there were a couple of other items. Deb, do you want to chime in here if you can remember?
Yeah, there were actually quite a few different things going on with that. And in fact, there was a stakeholders meeting yesterday with a bunch of stakeholders. Patty Glenn from the FSMTB was there. Stephanie was there. I was there. Steve Mortel from the ANTA was there. The gaping absence was anyone from the board. Like Angie, they were specifically not invited, but they are going to be having a meeting tomorrow with Representative Dunn's office. And Stephanie, do you want to provide an update of that meeting as well, so that that way I'm not talking so much?
Sure. So at the stakeholders meeting, most of the things that were discussed were, I felt like we were still trying to figure out whether we were going to be able to save our board or whether this bill was moving forward as is and we were going somewhere else. And honestly, I'm still not sure if that is clear. And I'm hoping that after Angie and Tom's meeting with Representative Dunn tomorrow, that that will be crystal clear. But as far as the advisory committee, they, you know, we talked about that and they said that we should continue to do, you know, do our job and help advise the board and do everything that we can to, you know, to help and be here as a support and a resource for the board. So, you know, I think that our job, like, we still need to continue to do that and move forward as if sort of none of this was really happening. At least that's sort of the impression that I got. And then I think that everybody who attended on our side, you know, there were people who were for the bill and then there were people who were against the bill, you know, or neutral to the bill all there. But I think that everybody that I would say on our side where we were either against or neutral to the bill really had a lot to say about how we can save our board and how we can make, you know, some forward progress here. And I think that was most of everybody's intention at the meeting. And I think that part of it went well. I think that they're still open to ideas. I think that they're still open to seeing some positive change here. So I do feel like we still have an opportunity to make that happen. And I feel like if we are to be moved, it's not positive yet, but I kind of got the impression that maybe it's not going to be Cosmo. Maybe it will be a healthcare-related board. I feel like they really do understand. We made a lot of progress in talking to them about how massage therapy is healthcare, no matter where it's practiced, you know. I've had a lot of experience and background in the spa industry, so I was able to bring that and say, hey, even though I was working in the spa, I still worked with people who had cancer. I still worked with people who had eating disorders. I still worked with people who had medical conditions. And I think that they really understood that. So one of the things that came out about it was that if we were to go under the cosmetology board, cosmetology would then become a healthcare related board in statute. So that's a thing that would have to change and it would be in the bill. Cosmetology is now an occupational licensing board. But if they took us, that would become a healthcare board. And they showed us in statute where it does say we are a healthcare-related profession here in Arizona. So it doesn't say we're a service profession or anything like that. It actually says in statute we are a healthcare-related profession. And so that's one of the things that would have to change. And I think that was
I feel like cosmetology sort of got an aha moment with that.
And can I interject for just a second there on that one? I was kind of left with the idea of that it was waving this magic wand and Cosmo would be healthcare, right? And because their board would be considered healthcare, but they don't have that healthcare orientation, which is really deeply concerning. So back to you, Stephanie.
That's something I think that they will definitely have to take a little bit more into consideration. Although the deputy executive director of the Cosmo board does have healthcare experience to the tune of like 30 years working with Banner Health. So I think she does feel like she is prepared to do that, which is great. I think that for the executive director, there may be a little bit more of a learning curve. So I don't know where we're going, really. I have no concrete, I can say we're doing this or we're doing that. I feel like it's kind of still in discussions and, you know, that's pretty much the gist of it.
Excellent. Thank you so much for those updates. I appreciate that. Deb, we got you.
Yeah, just a little bit more too is that part of what I walked away from that meeting with is that even though there are questions, they're still barreling towards not necessarily keeping the board independent, which is the actual best case scenario. And it's not clear. I think like what Stephanie said, things will be a little bit more clear after the meeting tomorrow in terms of where they're headed with this. But from my perspective is that if in terms of walking out of that meeting, if things continue as they are, that it would be important to contact three legislators who voted yes on the bill but said we still have reservations about this, and letting them know that they're not, you know, and this is premature to do it right now, but just something for the future in terms of contacting those people as individual citizens that appreciably things have not changed, because at this point in time things have not changed in terms of what's going on with the bill, but that doesn't mean that it couldn't change, and we'll know more by tomorrow after that meeting. Okay, but I'm just saying, just kind of get ready potentially.
Excellent. Thank you for that. So what this brings to my mind is one way that this advisory committee can support the board and the board staff is to continue to try to bring awareness to as many licensees as possible about perhaps this handout so that they're getting informed information and where along the lines that the industry can step forward to communicate their feelings and thank you. I see a hand. I'll call on you in just a moment, Patty. So that there can be informed stakeholders out there. When we think about stakeholders and who this board and who this law serves, the law and the board is serving first and foremost the public, right? The public is counting on this, on these licensees to be vetted, to be safe, et cetera. I don't need to preach to you all because you already know this, right? But that is the number one stakeholder that this law and this board serves. Next, it serves its licensees and the workers who are in this industry to make sure that they have a license so that they can practice and a whole variety of benefits that goes along with that, and having a venue, something that came to my mind, having a venue if someone feels that they were wrongly accused of a complaint, and having a due process and a support network for something in that nature. So there's a lot of components to the licensees and the benefits that they may or may not realize from having an independent board that's focused on them. And then, of course, it serves employers. That's another stakeholder. This law isn't really designed to serve educators so much. Educators have to respond to the requirements of the laws. It wasn't designed to support educators that much. That's not the point. The point of this law is to serve the public, right? So I think this advisory committee, one thing it can do to help serve to support the staff and the board is to continue to try to bring public awareness and also licensee awareness with some of these facts and what the process is and where they can jump in along the way to support. So that just comes to mind. Patty had her hand up. Please, Patty.
Sorry, I just wanted to unmute. I apologize. Just a quick point of clarification, because I understand Deb's concern with the cosmetology board potentially becoming or falling under healthcare statutes. When that happens in government, it's not going to have any bearing on the status of cosmetologists or barbers. What it does mean is that the board has a different layer of standards and requirements and a burden that it has to adhere to in its operational situation by being designated as a healthcare board. So it does not open up the potential. They would still have to go through, you know, required statutory changes and designation changes just as they would have to if they thought they should fit under healthcare. So just a point of clarification, because I know the rumor mill can take off quickly, and that was all I had to add. Thank you so much.
Great. That brings another question to my mind that perhaps, and Patty, can you please tell everybody your background and introduce yourself just briefly?
My sincere apologies. A very quick Reader's Digest. I kind of bring a couple different layers to the conversation. I've been a therapist for almost 30 years. I also have been a school administrator and instructor, 6 years as the executive director of the Oregon State Board of Massage Therapists, and now thrilled as of February 1st to join the Federation of State Massage Therapy Boards as the director of education and professional mobility.
Great. Thank you very much. So that brought to me a question on your, let me see if I can get it back because of course it jumped out of my head. The sunset process and a statutory review. So my understanding, and maybe anybody can speak to this if they have any other information, how was it brought up or addressed, or are there any questions about, because I know that was something that we've talked about in the past, and the board and the staff all had said that there were some potential needs for statutory changes. Would this be something that the combined board would be prepared and ready for to do that review? And isn't it necessary to do that rather quickly because that board is scheduled to sunset? Or is that part of the bill that it would then be forwarded into the future? So Deb is shaking her head. Do you have an answer?
Yeah, I needed to turn off my mic there. Just so for everyone on the call knows who I am, I'm with the LMP Body Politic. And Angie specifically asked me to come in and to sit on the advisory committee, bringing my 30-plus years of experience working with human trafficking issues, strategic planning, regulatory issues, legislative issues, et cetera. And so I actually had a conversation with Angie about all this the other day and regarding motions for the board, because I think that we're at the point of needing to actually begin the process of doing work. And at the beginning of the meetings, there was discussion of a lack of resources and poor customer service, that there's problems with the audits, that there's a reason why the legislator has brought this bill forward, and the aim of the advisory committee too was to help find no-cost ways to enhance the customer service experience without placing more burdens on staff. Mm-hmm. And to that end, there were several motions, because the discussion is really good. I think the statutory review is probably at the bottom of the list right now. We're looking at trying to fix the problems that are really important that need to be fixed, so
right.
that way we can move on. And so there were one of the things that Angie and I had discussed was bringing forth several motions that would actually begin the process of having the advisory committee actually advise the board rather than just continuing these discussions and fact-finding, because to this point, it's been really great to have the discussions and fact-finding, and we were, and in my mind, this advisory committee was getting ready to be at the point of making recommendations to the board, and then the bill dropped. And then from there, we've all gone into panic mode. And I think what might be really helpful is yes, it's good to information share about where we are in the process and what the process is looking like with regards to the legislation piece. But I think it was Stephanie said, you know, there's problems that we need to address and begin doing that process. So I am bringing forward several motions because the whole point, and these are not motions that are I made up. These are motions that have come from this group, from discussions with Arizona therapists and emails that I've been getting, et cetera, to help move this advisory committee into being one of more action. The problem is that this committee cannot act on its own because we work at the behest of the board. So for us to take a view of doing anything without the approval of the board first in our actions is a no-go. And so I have several motions to help move things back to the board so that the board can begin to delegate some things, get done, and maybe task us with doing some topics that will help address the immediate problems rather than just continuing a discussion. So that's where I'm coming from with all this.
So can I ask you a quick question here?
Yes.
Is something that you're suggesting, because first of all, this board has done, this advisory committee, we are not really a board. This is an advisory committee.
Right.
Done a lot of action over the years. A lot of action over the years. It has just recently become this big. This has been a lot of action by a smaller group of people who unfortunately are not always able to be present at these particular meetings. So that's number one I just want to add. And it's been going on for 5 years and before Angela was, Ms. Ryder was the chairman of the board. So, but is one of the things that you're suggesting is that this advisory committee be empowered to go in and actually do work in the staff office?
Absolutely not at this point.
Okay.
Because it's not within our purview.
Because
the advisory committee cannot do anything without the board's approval, really, when it comes right down to it. And so basically what the advisory committee needs to do is make recommendations in the form of motions to the full board. The board accepts or rejects those motions or revises them. Then if a motion delegates a task back to the advisory committee, the committee works on that task and then returns the completed project back to the board for approval. And I'm seeing hands raised by quite a few people, so maybe we ought to bring forward those comments or questions at this point in time, and then maybe, and this is a motion that I would like to make at this point for those members of the committee that are here. I see Stephanie is here, Marcia is here. I'm not sure who else is on that as well, that we make a motion to move forward with the motions that I've been empowered by Angie to bring forward, and that's my motion. Is there a second?
I second.
Okay.
So wait a minute. Hold on just a moment, please. You're making a motion to make a motion?
I'm making a motion to bring forward the motions that I have been empowered by Angie to bring forward.
Okay. I don't know that we need a motion to bring forth a motion. I'm going to pause for just a second, and at your suggestion, I'm going to let these other people comment. First, we have Patty Glenn. Can you please give us your comments?
Nope, I just forgot to put my hand down. My apologies.
Okay. The next hand was Stephanie Rodriguez.
Oh, my microphone there. Thank you. I just had a couple of things when you were discussing your ideas or the things that were coming to mind, Mara. As far as, like, the public, you know, the board is here to serve the public. One of the things that I think the Cosmo board does really well, and one of the things I think Representative Dunn likes, is that the Cosmo board looks at their licensees as the public. And their philosophy on supporting the public is that those licensees are the public. And when they are protecting and supporting the public, they do the exact same thing with the licensees. It's one of those things that I feel like our board could do a lot better. Licensees are the public. And so if we can go into some of these discussions with that in mind, I think that everybody would appreciate that, especially the people that we're trying to serve here. And then the other thing, I wanted to answer your question because I think you were asking about the Cosmo Board Sunset and how their sunset was coming up soon. Yeah, so I wanted to answer that for you. They are moving the sunset back for the Cosmetology Board to 2028.
Right. That's what I thought. Okay, so we've got some time there.
Yeah. The only thing is, like, we really don't have time. I know one of the big concerns about the stakeholder meeting is that if we don't get something fixed this legislative session, if this bill gets tabled or it doesn't get fixed this session, if we go into next year, the problem is that we're not going to have a choice on where we go or how this all goes down. You know, it was brought up that with the funeral board, you know, the funeral board was dissolved and put under the department, some other department, I can't remember. But that happened at the last 2 weeks of session and they had no time to work this out. And so I think that's why it's really important to this committee and this thing is going to keep going forward is that they want to have time to be able to figure out, you know, whether we fix this or what they do with us and to give us the opportunity to have that choice, you know, or some semblance of choice at least, where if we waited until next year, we wouldn't have that.
Right. I think we're all in agreement on that. I think, and I think we all understand the process and time is of the essence.
Yeah.
It's just in preparing our case, shall I say, right, when we're going to speak with anybody or when we're trying to inform the board, when we're looking for solutions, I'm not ignoring me personally. I'll just speak for myself. I'm not ignoring solutions that we need in the next 3 months. I'm looking for the solutions for the next 3 months and the next 3 years, ideally. Like, let's look at the whole big picture, you know. I'm a big picture person, so I'm more strategic and looking along the whole thing. Because if you don't look at the end and see what the end result is in the long term, it, you know, that can inform the now. So that's why I'm just trying to look at everything along the entire whole timeline in case that wasn't particularly clear. So now back to Deb's question about motions and the board.
There's another person who has a raised hand.
Oh.
Dropped it down.
I'm sorry, who's that? I don't have it on my screen any longer.
Alcinia Holtzler? Holtzler?
Oh, hi. Yes, Alcinia. Hello. Oh. Unmute yourself.
There I am. Sorry. I did that. I want to just add really quickly, I am a licensed massage therapist and come from the educational world, worked with the processes of applications for the last 12 years. What I've tried and started to do is I stepped away from the educational realm and created a support system for the massage therapist as application processes, renewal processes, good cause, fingerprint clearance. Those were some of the calls that I was taking on a daily basis from people off the streets who either let their license lapse and needed that support. And so I am doing that. I am not charging them. They can come and they can get the support they need. And so that's kind of what I'm doing right now. As far as the Cosmo Board possibly joining with the or the part of the massage industry, I am working with the board as far as the cosmetology side of it as well. But I do feel that the support that I am giving and providing is needed. Absolutely.
I would agree, and thank you so much for your volunteerism. I heard you before the meeting started talking to Tony about what you're doing as a massage employer. I helped all of my staff navigate the process, and we have heard repeatedly for many years that incomplete applications is the number one thing that's holding people up after just the fact that an FBI background check takes 90 days, which is the number one reason why the processing time is such. And there are some potential solutions for that processing time. that have come up. But anyway, thank you so much for your time and your resource that you're providing to all of the licensees in the state. It will make things go, and to employers, I'm sure, because now the employers have the staff to be able to help their staff navigate the process. So thank you for that.
Everything Massage Therapy LLC.
Thank you. We can try to help send people your way who are confused.
And also, I will have the therapist join in the lobbying on this.
Excellent. Thank you for that as well. Mm-hmm. Okay. Is there anybody else that I missed for their hand up before we go back to Deb's motions? Okay. So I have a question for you before we move forward on the motions. If I don't know. I guess I'm a little bit confused. I know of no rule that says that the board can't ask us to task us with something without a formal motion. Is that, where did that information come from?
No, what I'm saying is that this committee cannot act without an order from the board in terms of we need to be told by the board what they need, but the only way the board is going to know what they need from our perspective as a committee is if we make a motion to the board for them to entertain motions to task us with something. And making this, basically we're an advisory committee, so we advise the board, and then the board has the opportunity, if they want, to task us with doing and implementing those and coming up with solutions and doing all those things. So in order to get this rolling, what is I've been empowered to do, evidently, somehow that message hasn't gotten across very well, is that there's a series of motions that go back to the board saying this is some of the stuff that we think needs to have happen in order to address the application processes, because that's what I'm focusing on, because that's the major issue. And so we make that back to the board, and then the board can decide what they want to do with it, whether they even want us to address those things or if they want us to address other things. And so it's more about beginning the process of moving towards action and actionable items, versus just having discussions. And
so,
So I'm done.
Well, I feel like they've been giving us actions and we have been providing information. I mean, I certainly know I spend a lot of time giving information to them that they're acting on. So I guess I'm just a little bit confused. I'm not opposed to doing a motion. I just don't know that we need to set a precedent that it's necessary to do that. If we, as the meeting, because generally speaking, someone from the board is here, they hear what's going on, and then they can bring it forward to the board. You know, we give them their suggestions verbally right now, and then they do with it what they will. So it's on them to do with it what they will, the information that we provide out of these meetings, and vice versa. So are you just thinking that having a more formal structure would be more useful in some way to help people understand that they can take action with what we're talking about here?
No, what it is that nothing happens unless it's put into the form of a motion. And this was what happened with that special meeting, was that the board had, not us, but that the board had with those three motions that they passed. Because my experience working with a board, a department, a board staff, that nothing happens unless the board formally asks for it.
Gotcha.
And so everything that you want to have happen really needs to go into the form of a motion in order for that to happen. So we have to have discussions about the idea of what it is that we want to do, unless we actually formalize it. We can't really act on it because the board hasn't said that, we want you to do this project, because it could be counter to what the board really wants us to do. And I'd really appreciate if some of the other members of the advisory committee piped up on this in terms of what their feelings are, like Marcia or Stephanie, and how they feel about this.
Gotcha. Okay. And just, so let's go with Marcia raised your hand first.
Yeah, I have a lot of questions about how the licenses are being processed, what kind of software or systems they're using to track that, what the metrics are around that. And we also need to look at problem definition, like what are the actual problems? I don't think there's really agreement around that. One of them is of course, the length of time that it takes to approve the licenses. A lot of that has to do with the FBI. A lot of that needs to be communicated to the masses. I'm licensed in 3 states. It's taken me 90 days to get approved in each and every state. That's not unusual. So I don't understand why people are having an issue with that. Now that we have the non-IVP fingerprint clearance cards layered on top of that, we need to talk about the difference between the FD-258 and the non-IVP fingerprint clearance cards. This needs to be communicated, and because it was not communicated, I think that's caused a lot of confusion. People complained. They started contacting the governor. It created a lot of problems. And so there's a public relations, if you will, kind of aspect to this, an educational aspect to this. The website is less than optimal, but there may be some things that we can do to improve that.
Right.
So, you know, these are things that I would like to work with Tom and Tony on figuring out what's going on, why is this not working, what can we do to make that work better. But if they're not accepting volunteers, like Tammy had testified at the hearing, why don't we have volunteers come in and clear up, you know, a lot of it? And they were like, oh, no, 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 we can't have this is personal information. You know, like, will I be able to come in and even have these discussions with the board and figure out what we need to do to fix this? If I cannot do that, then it's merely conjecture on my part about what we need to do to improve this. So when I go to Dunn or any of the other legislators and talk to them about solutions, potential solutions, I'm guessing. Unless I've been in there and seen what's actually going on, I really can't, it's just a swag, a guess.
Right.
And that's not okay. They're going to beat me down for that.
Gotcha.
So I need access in order to communicate what the issues are, what the problems are, and how to fix them.
Right. Fair enough. And many of those questions have been asked, and we do have answers. We could try to address some of those answers quickly today just to share some of that with you. So that you know, not to say that we don't, that there aren't more things that we could get information about, but was there some, my thing only tells me one person's time. Was there somebody else who had their hand up before I answer some of Marcia's questions quickly?
Okay. I will just say really quickly, like, I think that what Deb is talking about as far as needing action plans is important. I do believe that we do need to have some sort of action plans, Mara. I mean, I feel like we have done a lot of talking and discussion and, you know, we're at a crisis point right now where like we have to make some forward motion. And if we don't, I don't know what's going to happen.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so I think that I don't know what Deb's motions are. I have not seen them. However, I would expect them to be things that would just be like, you know, we need to do this thing and have this thing done, right? And we just need to put an action plan together on what we're going to be doing moving forward. You know, I don't.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So just to be clear, I'm not against having an action plan or saying that this committee can be doing more work. What I am reminding everybody about is that our hands are tied about what kind of work we can do, okay, and what kind of work we can provide based on the laws, not by any individual person's desire or lack of desire, okay? Volunteers can't go into the office and process applications because there's confidential FBI information. The board, the software system, they're not allowed to use Microsoft Office, for example. All applications are hand processed and hand keyed. So they cannot use some very basic business software for some systems and processes. So there's that issue. There's some other
issues about why they can't hire additional staff due to funds, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So there's that whole thing that I don't know that we need to belabor. What I can say is, and thank you, Marcia, I saw your hand, is that if I understand correctly, and I just want to make sure that I'm clear in this motion to make motions, because we're making a motion that we formally advise the board to make a motion to give us a project to do and somehow give us the authority to do that project, whatever that project happens to be. Is that my understanding, Deb, that what you're asking is, just so that I have some clarity?
To a certain degree, yes, because all work product then that comes out of committee has to go back, that finished product has to go back to the board for approval, because the board is the one that really makes the decisions and makes the determinations as to whether or not certain things that, like, for example, some of the things that Marcia is asking for, there may be ways that she might not be able to do it, but the staff and the board might be willing to be interviewed to go through that process, to work with that process. It's not a matter, you know, so it's very different than what you're talking about. And So it's just a matter of developing that action plan, because otherwise, by just doing discussions and leaving things up in the air the way it has been without an action plan in place, we are rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic. We are well beyond that point of more discussion at this point. We are at the point of we need to show progress. And this board, this advisory committee has not shown any progress in terms of moving forward with some of the things that we've been talking about. And I think we need to do that.
Okay. And if we can't show progress, we need to demonstrate why. We didn't have the money, so we couldn't do X, Y, and Z. We didn't have the resources to do LMNOP.
Okay.
You know, I think that that's helpful in the dialogue with the legislators in saying, hey, you know, we did the best that we could, but you need to help us.
Right.
So
right.
I think that it goes both ways.
Quantifying the information. Quantifying all of the issues is definitely, I guess I feel like we've done that so much already. But if we want to make a motion to do that, we have numbers. I've interviewed Tom. We've communicated numbers in meetings that we've had. So I'm sorry that this entire whole committee doesn't have access to some of that information. That being said, let's move forward because for the essence of time, I have no issue with empowering the board to give us specific tasks on whatever we're legally able to do within the realm we can do to continue to produce written documentation that's quantifiable about all of these issues that are the known issues. So if we're talking about quantifying what we already know, then that's great. But I will tell you that the idea of making the board staff, which is limited already, having to do any more work to do tabulation or other various things is probably not a realistic expectation. So I'm not really sure exactly how this committee would be able to go about quantifying, other than perhaps a sub-suggestion, just interviewing people and writing down what they say. I don't know how much further we can get into this. Again, I've been here for 5 years or more doing this, trying to help with some of these things. And so that's maybe why I feel like I have more information than everybody else does in terms of some of those numbers. So, Deb, you have a motion on the table, and I believe someone seconded it. Who seconded the motion to do the motions?
I did.
Okay, great. Thank you. So,
My question in terms of protocol, though, is that this is an advisory committee. Is this membership open to everyone, or is it closed?
No,
I mean,
it's
who
closed.
Is on the committee? So can that person legally make,
that's a good point.
I'm not sure who's clear on the committee.
Yeah, so I don't even know. So Marcia, who's on the committee, who's here? Deborah?
I second the motion.
And Mara. Wait a minute. Who else do we have on the – let me pull up the list here. Garnet is not here. Jimmy's not here. Marcia, Dr. Warner's not here. Sophia Perkovich, Stephanie, Tammy. Is Tammy here?
I second the motion. I'm on the committee.
Right, but there are only three of us.
Mm-hmm.
Four of us here. Okay. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Well, there are 13 people on the committee. How many do we need for a quorum to be able to approve something if there are only four of us present, or five, six of us present out of 13? Is there a minimum number there?
I think you would need seven for a quorum.
And do we need a quorum? Do we absolutely have a quorum, or can we consider it just those who are here?
And we've never really made motions before. We've just said to the board, here's our recommendation of what you do, and the board does or does not do the recommendation. I'm sorry, Casey, you're the Attorney General. What do you suggest?
Well, it depends, I guess, on what the committee wants to give to the board, how formal the committee wants it to be. If it's just, as the name implies, advice for any one of these issues that have come up to the board, then surely the board or the committee can keep on doing what it has been doing. But I agree that, really, if there's no motion, then there's nothing you can point to and say, well, the committee has made this finding, for example. But if for informal purposes, I don't think, it just depends on what the committee wants to send to the board.
Okay. Part of this has to do also with brass tacks, what we need from the cosmetology board. So moving forward, what would we need from any board if we were to merge with them, and if we are to stay independent, what we need to stay independent. And so it's not just around it is fixing problems, but we need to define what we need to move forward, whether we are independent or whether we merge with another board. So this investigation or these problem definition sorties, if you will, really need to benefit us in the long run, no matter where we go, which direction we go.
This is correct. So and the other thing that's new, just for the point of history for everybody, these were not open meetings before. Board members were not at these meetings before. We were here with board staff, and we heard the needs of the board staff, and the board staff communicated the needs from the board to us. We produced documents or research or whatever they needed. We gave it back to them, or we did in-person presentations at meetings with that research and that documentation. And that's what was being done. So this is all new territory that we're in right now, with the fact that we have to have open meetings, the fact that they're recorded, and that now we're suddenly an advisory board as opposed to a committee. None of that has really been ever formalized. So I feel like, I mean, that's another part of my trepidation here, is like all of a sudden this has become something different, and that's not necessarily bad. It just, now we have to think about all of these other things that we weren't really thinking about before, Deb, as far as structure and quorums and voting and minutes. We don't have, we don't have minutes taken. We don't have any of that sort of thing because we're not board or a committee. So my personal opinion is keep it simple, especially right now. And if we want to, as a committee, create a document that is a written list of recommendations to give to the board that they can then make motions on and task people with, that would be the simplest sort of thing. And we are limited. We cannot email anybody on the committee as a group message unless we have that language on the top of it about forwarding it. So if you and others want to prepare a list of suggestions that need to be given to the board, and we can somehow or another just approve that and get it to the board. I mean, the timeliness by getting it to them by Monday's meeting is going to be a little challenging.
No, it's not. If we go through these motions, for instance, we can call them whatever we want to. We don't have to call them motions.
Great.
Okay. You know, but I've called them motions because that's the familiarity that I have. And to clarify first to, the board committee, that is, I'm not trying to turn this into an advisory board. It's just when I use language, sometimes I intersperse the two because, you know, it's mom is speaking and I apologize for that. So right now they're in the form of motions, but if we want to call them suggestions, whatever we want to do, I'm just saying we've got to do something. Because right now we're rearranging those deck chairs, and if we do not show that we are trying to make progress, and we should have done this months ago, but again, we were in the information gathering phase. If we don't show any kind of progress whatsoever, on dealing with the issues in the audit and what is Representative Dunn's primary issue, we might as well just not do anything because we're just going to keep talking and talking and talking.
We've heard that. So yeah. Would you please recite for us your list of suggested recommendations for the board for the record?
Is it possible for me to do a PowerPoint?
Sure.
Okay, so let me bring up my thing here. Okay. Is, because nothing's showing up on my thing.
Oh, so you, do you not have rights to present? Is that something possible?
That might be the problem. Okay, but I can just verbally go through it.
Hold on. Tony, can you provide access?
Everyone has access to do any kind of presentation.
Okay.
You would start with the, not the hand, but next to the hand is an up arrow. You click
that,
and then it says, what screen do you want? And you would then choose your PowerPoint that you already have open.
Okay. Ah, there it is. Okay. I got the window. Okay. Perfect. And we're going to, okay, good. Can everybody see that and still hear me?
Yes, it's loading.
Okay. All right, is it up?
Yes, it is.
Okay, I've already basically talked about, you know, how nothing happens unless we make either, you know, let's just ignore the word motion and talk about motion, you know, it being suggestions or whatever we want to do, recommendations, but it's like a formal decision. Let's make a decision. Okay. And I already talked about the fourfold process of how it will work, the AC, the advisory committee returns the completed project back to the board for approval. And if revised, it goes back to number three for us to fix it and then put it back to the board again. So everything is back to the board. So all motions will begin with the advisory or suggestions the advisory committee recommends. And the reason why we do that is if they are motions, I mean, that would have been if they were motions, because we can't say, well, we want the board to do this. We can't do that because that's kind of rude. And we need to be polite and say, we're recommending this. Okay.
Yeah.
And so what we've got is, you know, the primary issue that I see and first thing that needs to be done is analyzing the problem, which Marcia has outlined in terms of the application process. And then Stephanie talked about the videos, but in order to have the videos, we got to have a YouTube channel. Then we have written docs. We've talked about written docs that mirror what the videos say or the topics of the videos, and an FAQ section potentially. And then we need to have a place to put those. A view-only Dropbox is a no-cost way to do that. We put the documents up there, and then from there, then we have potential phone email scripts that can help staff. That was one of Angie's ideas that came through. And then also talked about was that website update. And so that website update could be both long-term and short-term, where in the short-term, we make the changes that just has to do with how to make it cleaner and look better, and then incorporate all the other stuff from the other motions. And then back to, you know, finally, we, you know, that we reaffirm that all work product goes back to the board for approval. That's the summary, okay, of what's going on. And so, for example, the advisory committee recommends that the board task the advisory committee with analyzing the application process from both the customer side and the staff side to determine how the application process could improve. That's the first suggestion, okay, that I have. And like I said, that, you know, this back here is just kind of the quick summary, so you know what's coming with the rest of what I'm talking about today. And then we can add whatever else you want to, but I started with these because these are the most pressing problems. And so the advisory committee can take a look at recommending to the board that the board task the advisory committee with analyzing the application process from both the customer side and the staff side to determine how the application process could improve. And of course, what that implies is that we will do that within the confines of the what's available, like developing interview questions. What are the things that we think we need to know? What's the process from the customer side? Where are the problems happening? Interviewing recent school graduates to, you know, because Tammy's on that. She can talk to her graduates about looking at public processes and licensing forms and all those different kinds of things that might be able to work in developing a workflow product which outlines the roadblocks and suggestions for improvement. So that's the first suggestion.
Great. Are there other suggestions that you have beyond?
I went through that list. Okay. That was the summary of what we're going to do. We're going to take one at a time and spend a few minutes talking about it. If we need to just take a vote on, yes, we want to do this, no, we don't want to do it, then move on to the next one rather than do a big rehash.
Gotcha.
You know, so the members that are here can make that suggestion.
Well, I will start first. Would you mind going back to your list for just a moment, please? The list. Okay. So I don't want to be the bearer of bad news and talk about all the why some of these things won't work immediately. I'm going to stick with number one only, analysis. I think that what is being suggested about interviewing all the stakeholders about what would make things better is a great idea. And I think that is absolutely 100%. And this is kind of where I was going, you know, a meeting or two ago when I was trying to get from everybody, do we have a list of volunteer names and phone numbers so that we can call upon them to help us with exactly things like this so that we have the manpower, woman power to be able to pull off something like that. So analysis of all of these points with the stakeholders as well as the staff is a great idea, and I think that that's something that this advisory committee can and should be doing immediately. There are to be able to get great new ideas that other people haven't thought of yet on how to make things better. Tony does have to hand key all of the applications. There is not an online automated process, so that does take some time. But I'm sure he'd be happy to share his information. The things that follow that, I think phone scripts and so forth and so on, you know, that could also be something that could be helpful for sure. Things involving the technology get more complicated for a variety of reasons, but there's no reason why we can't make the list of ideas for sure. So I completely support and providing this suggestion list to the massage board to be able to task volunteers to be able to do the analysis on each of these things outside of the staff. I have no issue with this whatsoever. I can say that there, from a technology perspective, a lot of things, their hands are tied in a lot of ways on what they're able to do. So being able to get the technology changes to be able to implement any of these things may not necessarily be implemented in a timely fashion before the ship is redirected rather than going down before the ship is redirected. Stephanie has her hand up.
Yep, that's what I wanted to recognize with Stephanie.
Hello. Okay, so I do have an idea. As far as this analysis goes, could we, as an advisory committee, set up a meeting with the committee and our schools in Arizona. Could we invite the school administrators or education directors, whoever's processing those licensing applications, and have one big meeting and have all of them come and give us their ideas, suggestions, and feedback? And that could be our one-time analysis.
Right. And see, that's getting into the weeds of what's going on, because we shouldn't be doing that as a committee unless we get the board's okay to do it. That's what this is about. This is saying, this is what we want to do, you know, and then leave it to the committee to figure out how to do it. And what we could do is add to this list, committee members are delegated to develop interview questions, interview recent school graduates, sort of getting the process rolling of what you're looking at, to that's getting into the weeds of it.
Well, I just think that maybe interviewing the schools would be the most, the easiest way to do this, sort of the path of least resistance, if we just get the schools involved, because they know what the issues are. They know what the challenges are. They're processing license applications constantly. And these initial applications seem to be the biggest problem that we have as far as those things getting processed in a timely manner. So that's why I'm saying maybe we skip the part about, you know, interviewing all of the, you know, graduates and all of this stuff. And maybe we just go directly to our schools and say, hey, like, what do you need and how can we help you?
Okay. So maybe what we do then is that in terms of what it could look like, that we develop interview questions and look at, well, or just develop interview questions and interview the staff and board, get rid of that one and look at the process from the customer side. You know, school graduates or school owners or whatever. You know, this is just a suggestion in terms of what the process actually, instead of would, let's call it could, you know, so that way it gives the idea to the board what it is that we're asking for in terms of that. So
can I interject something here, please, really quickly? So what you both are kind of suggesting to some degree is like an industry summit, where literally all stakeholders are invited to participate, and then you would have some roundtable. This would be potentially a facilitated meeting, and you'd have like a roundtable discussion based on each of the stakeholders where you would get input. This is not something that the board has to give us a motion to do. This is something that happens from the industry. The industry generates something like this. And Stephanie, what you and Jimmy were starting or have started with your meetings with, this would be the next level on steroids. And it is not, the board does not have to direct, I mean, if we as a committee are going to do it, it's one thing. If we're going to facilitate or find a facilitator and begin the summit, you know, processing or implementation, that could be something that we could be tasked with is to potentially, but this is something that comes from within an industry, is to have these kinds of summits and have all this. And so when in my world, from previous boards, and lawmaking, when you have a stakeholder meeting, you literally have all the stakeholders together so that there can be a discussion exactly like what you're suggesting. And so a stakeholder meeting isn't three people. A stakeholder meeting is like representatives of all of the different stakeholders. So just as an aside, I'm going to throw out here now, one of the suggestions that I was going to bring forward at your meeting on the 26th is that we have industry representatives, an industry that represents self-representing without the national organizations to some degree. And we have delegates from Southern Arizona, from the Phoenix metro area, and from Northern Arizona. And those delegates get together. So we have meetings in our locales. Those delegates are charged with information, and then the smaller group of delegates gets together to synthesize information. So something like that, you know, would be something that perhaps that the industry should consider doing, is having that so that we as a committee, or they can go directly to inform the board for that matter, and just speak in public meeting at the monthly meetings. Yeah. So, this is a great idea, and I that she presented about having the schools, because it is, that is predominantly the hot point. The schools are annoyed.
new graduates who need to get into the workforce or trying to get into the workforce quickly, there are some solutions that have already been suggested by the board staff over 5 years ago that were sort of ixnayed, but maybe now they're more timely and can be implemented because there have been some changes from 5 years ago. So there are some solutions that are potentially out there that can be recommended. So I love your idea, and I love Deb's idea, and I would, to, again, for the essence of everybody's time and for action, I definitely think that, you know, we can say to the board that they should, you know, formally advise us to start having some analysis meetings. But I think that the industry itself can do this without the board approval. Marcia, okay. You have your hand up.
Yeah, I guess my questions are a little bit more technical. So, like, is the application process sequential? Is it not sequential? I mean, you can get all kinds of information at any time from multiple sources. How are they keeping track of that? How do you keep track of all the documentation? Where is that documentation kept? Who has access to that? That would lead people to be able to answer questions when people call in. Where are you losing people? What steps have the highest failure rates? How many apply each week or each month? What is the average turnaround time for the FD-258 versus the non-IVP fingerprint clearance card? I mean, my questions are very technical, and they lead to, you know, roadblocks and restrictions in the system and potential solutions. And so, you know, am I going to be able to, I'm guessing I would need to be able to talk to Tony and to Tom and be able to get, you know, I have like probably 50 questions. You know, I have a corporate background. I've done online web stuff. I mean, this is not out of my range of expertise. Right. And so I think it would be very helpful, even in communicating to people who are trying to get licensed to the schools, this is what we can do. This is what we can't do. And to people who are doing renewals, that's a separate batch. And asking either from the legislators or from the cosmetology board, this is the support that we need in order to process these applications and to get this done. So I'm much more technical, and it's much more invasive. Mm-hmm. And so I need permission to come in and talk to them.
Right.
Can I follow this up really quick? I know people have their hands up, but Tom, if you're here, this question is kind of for you. Do you have some hard numbers that we could just have already? Are there hard numbers that you already have that you could send to us?
Madam Chair and Bailey, yes. We can start with the Arizona Auditor General report, and we can start with the handouts we gave to the governor's office last week. But if you give me a minute, I'll go through it for you right now. Okay. You have 34,000 licensees. You have 13,000 active. Of the 13,000 active, 6,500 have to renew every year. You can divide that by 12. In an average month, you get 300 new licenses. But in an average month, you get name changes all the time. You get requests for license verifications regularly. Copies for duplicate hard copy certificates. And then each of these individual processes, besides them being done manually, usually necessitate an average of 80 telephone calls a day and an average of about 100 emails a day, some of which are follow-ups, but they all have to be responded to. So that's a quick and dirty of what a day looks like. Now, that's not counting the other 57 reports, which myself and the staff have to respond to the federal government, to the DOA. I mean, I'm not going to, you know, you ask me a question, you're going to get a 30-minute response. I don't want to do that to you. But everything to the day-to-day operation of the board to keep the lights on, as we're sitting here, just so you know, we're getting an accumulation of people waiting to get a phone call back, leaving phone messages, sending emails, and I'm happy because the emails yesterday were not answered. So, you know, with all due respect, but the intended effect of this next comment, this is Lucille Ball, and Ethel at the chocolate
factory. The chocolate factory, yep.
And chocolates are coming through, and the staff has said no problem, and the chocolates are falling on the floor.
Okay.
My other reference we've said over the years is that you wanted a restaurant, you got a hot dog stand. So let me volunteer that it may be a management problem, and you will want to make new management. But I will tell you while I'm still here, clearly it's a resource problem. So I hope that answers the question.
Thank you so much, Tom.
And Maylin has her hand up and has for a while. Maylin, will you please introduce yourself briefly and then give us your question? Maylin?
My name is Maylin Patrine, and I am the Director of Legal and Regulatory Affairs at the Federation of State Massage Therapy Boards. I've been in this position about almost 3 years now. Prior to that, I served as outside general counsel to a number of other national associations of regulatory boards consisting of the optometrists, the chiropractors, the physical therapists, and psychologists. And I think that, and I'm not, you know, board counsel, but I would suggest that you, as you go about whatever work you decide to undertake, that you distinguish between administrative support issues, which can be resolved with resources moving to COSMO, with operational and statutory problems that prohibit the board from fulfilling its duties to protect the public, such as authority over unlicensed practice, establishment oversight, the education gaps with respect to requiring the MBLEX. So there are a lot of things that relate to enforcement and investigations that are statutorily dictated that the board gets a bad rap for. So as you think about moving forward, my suggestion is to kind of, you know, put aside the administrative support issues and the technology issues, which can be fixed with money moving to a place that has those resources. But some of the board's operational issues are related to the Practice Act and what it has authority over, and the processes and requirements and limitations of what it can and can't do. And can it take discipline on a person for certain types of activities or not? So this is a lot of conversation about resources and administrative support. I'm not sure that the representative is concerned as much. I mean, that's what caused the attention, but how does the board fix things? Put resources aside and focus on kind of, I think, bigger pictures with solutions, because wherever the board ends up, those problems are still going to exist.
Thank you so much for that. And that is exactly what I was hoping to someone would bring forward when I talk about statutory review, because there are many areas in which our hands are tied and we are unable. So that distinction between operational versus administrative is exactly a point that needs to be well taken and should most definitely be on this list. I know that's long-term, bigger picture, but no matter where you go, there you are. You still have the same handcuffs based on the statute for many, many issues, especially things relating to investigation, as well as potential different interpretations by our AGs as to what we can and cannot do when we are given a complaint information about whether or not there needs to be a conviction before we can take action, or just an arrest or speculation of a problem. So there's some kind of some issues there when you look at the, especially those complaint issues about why there's been some slowdown. So thank you so much for bringing that issue to light. I appreciate that very, very much.
Yeah, and you know, you have a pending bill. And
yes,
there is perhaps an opening to put some statutory changes in this bill to improve the board's authority, big picture, regardless of where they end up administratively or structurally.
Excellent. And I thought we might have some opportunity for that right now, but I wasn't 100% clear. Thank you for bringing that to the attention of this committee.
I want to clarify where we are in the process right now. There is not going to be any bill to change statutory issues for the board in this legislative session. That was made pretty clear. One of the things that I had done was as part of the stakeholders meeting was prepare a three-point plan, and one of those things was looking at very simple statutory changes that could be made that would help the board do its work in terms of the application process, because that is the issue, the application process. Compliance, that kind of stuff, they're not even talking about that. They didn't talk one word about that yesterday. I mean, hardly, other than just the staffing issue with that. Basically, it was in front of the representative to do some very simple things that would fix some statutory issues with the board. And those were rejected, basically, because he never brought them up. He never talked about them, and he didn't want to really talk about any of that at all. So, Stephanie, I mean, you can chime in on that as well.
Well, before we do that, Alcinia did have her hand up for quite a time period after Midland. So, Alcinia.
Yes, real quick. I just need to say part of what I've created with my business is supporting the board. On a volunteer basis, I've worked with Tony for 12 years, Tom for just about that, recently David and Paul. The information that I'm able to get from the board to convey to people who just call, being able to alleviate or help with just the phone calls that they're getting, and then the application process, I do believe that this can help part of the process that is happening. I'm not saying that I'm going to, you know, be able to be all end all, but just this one person being able to help alleviate the phone calls, people who cannot process the applications, any and all things that are related to the process that I've been doing for 12 years at a school level. I'm now pulled off and doing it on my own. I'm here to support the board. I have yet to talk to Tom on this yet. This is a brand new baby, but I do feel that this is going to help the industry.
Thank you for your comments. I appreciate that.
Alcinia, I would love to talk to you a little bit more about that and about the school idea later.
Absolutely. Uh-huh. So, again, just to be respectful of everybody's time, and especially Tony and Tom, who have to get back to work answering emails and so forth and so on, just perhaps for the clarity and the feeling that we are taking action, I feel like we can make a recommendation to the board that they conduct this analysis and that they assign a task to this committee to be able to do this analysis would be an action step that we can take today. And they will have a board meeting on Monday, and they can action us with a variety of things. Tom did provide some hard numbers for us today, so it looks like we've got some of that. Interviewing with Alcinia sounds like that would be a great thing that we can do, that to provide back hard information to the board and to anybody else who's interested, so that we have some documentation. I have prepared multiple pieces of documentation as well that I can contribute when the time comes to whomever, as far as stakeholder benefits, so which again in preparation for the meeting on the 26th, coming up with some stakeholder benefits listing that I would be able to discuss when we have an actual stakeholder meeting, and potentially working on that summit maybe sooner versus later. To again, these are actionable things that can bring information quickly back to the board. I felt like we were already doing these things and informing the board and all of the different representatives and lawmakers along the way about industry needs, and but like I said in the last meeting and some email communications, I feel like everyone, and what was said at the very beginning of this meeting, I feel like people are open
They want to hear our potential solutions. And so time is of the essence. And so hopefully we can make that list of solutions faster than the redirection of the ship. So perhaps, and again, we've been asking for solutions and ideas along the way with statutory changes and other potential solutions. So I guess a next step could be that we could individually create solutions lists based on some information that we've gathered between now and our next meeting. Maybe we can have a meeting sooner versus later where we can review those potential solutions and report back on any other information we've gathered from interviews. Does anyone have any other suggestions of actions that we should make today, formalized for the recording of this meeting, so that we can ask the board to task us with specific things?
I just feel, can we get Deb's list to the board after this so that they can review it and then see what they would like to do so we have an answer?
Board members are present at this meeting, by the way, so they have the information already.
They're all here? Okay.
They do not have the whole list. They do not have the wording of the various items or any of that. So, no, they don't have any of that.
Okay, but they are present for this meeting, and they are hearing what
right.
we're seeing.
Right, and we as a group haven't talked about them. So, I'll be quiet.
Casey, you have your hand up?
Yeah, two things that may be useful. Well, first, I think there's only one board member. There's no board quorum at this meeting. Two, by my count, I think there's only 10 committee members. So there is a quorum if the committee wants to take legal action. And three, so to help sort of maybe clear up what probably should be in a motion versus what doesn't need to. I think really if it's anything that can foreseeably require any final action or a decision by the board, that probably should. Otherwise, you're free to make suggestions as your name implies.
So according to the list, the contact list for who is on this committee that the chair provided to me, there are 13 names.
Yeah, I'm counting. So that list includes myself, Tom, and Tony.
So I don't see your name on this list, but oh, yeah, you are the first one, Casey. Sorry, I didn't realize your last name. She has the last name, comma, first name on the first one, and the rest are.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was confused. Sorry. Okay, so the three of you need to be removed, so there needs to be 10. Okay, 10. So, so let me ask you one other question then. If we go from an advisory committee that just provides suggestions, if we start making motions, does that not inherently make us an advisory board, because then we're formally making motions and then we now need to have, chair, vice chair, secretary, and have minutes and that sort of thing?
Well, you have to have minutes because you're a public body, but you don't, boards can make, or committees can make motions by virtue of making a motion doesn't turn a committee into a board. And unless the board, there's actually only one reference to committees in the Massage Practice Act, and it has to do with discipline. So the act itself is not super clear, but unless the board itself directed the committee to, or the committee wanted to create, positions like chair, vice chair, et cetera, I don't believe that is required by statute.
Okay, so the fact that the meeting is recorded suffices as minutes because we are not having minutes or approval of minutes and have not in any of these meetings.
The open meeting law requires date, time, and place, members, general description. There really should be separate minutes since these are public, it's a meeting of a public body.
So who needs to create and provide those minutes, and do minutes need to be approved then at each future meeting?
Well, that would probably be best practice, and staff would put together the minutes.
Wow. So, and the reason the meetings are now public open meetings is because board members are attending the meetings?
It's because committees are public bodies. They're creations of the public body, and they are also public bodies.
Okay. So,
Madam Chair,
yes,
it might be helpful to let Deb complete the list of items that she brought for discussion today so I can make notes and not wait until a future meeting to.
Oh, I'm sorry. I misspoke on the minutes issue. Advisory committees don't need to prepare minutes or create them, take them.
Yay.
That's an exception I missed.
Okay. Thank you for that. And I'm sorry, Tom, could you please restate your question? I was still.
Before you finish the meeting today, I think we need to go to the remainder of Deb's list, because I'm taking notes on it. If I have to do activity before the next meeting, I'd rather know now what preparations need to be made as opposed to later on.
Gotcha. Okay, perfect. Okay, Deb, are you still there?
I am. For some reason, my camera went off. But, yes, and I'm happy to finish going through
please.
The list. And, Tom,
yes,
I do have a, if you need it in Word format or Word Perfect format, I've got everything that I'm going to say, or everything that shows up on the screen here, okay, in that I can send to you, okay? And so whichever format you prefer, whether it's WordPerfect or Word, I can do that, okay? So I talked about the motion or suggestion one and what the process could potentially, that we, the board, tasked the advisory committee with the development of customer service videos. That, and so the committee talked mainly about one thing, but there's all these other things that came up. So suggested topics might be potentially how to ensure office staff can contact an applicant. Like, for example, you know, just having a video that tells people where their applicant's actions slow the process, like not providing their contact information, or an application process step by step, which other people have done. But according to Angie, it needs to be updated, an explainer why an application might be delayed. The how-to's on specific to obtaining those FBI clearance and the clearance card background check. And you know, I heard the words checklist today, which I hadn't heard before. So they're, you know, taking a look at the checklist and seeing how that might be updated and improved for usage. So there could be a video on that or anything else that the committee decides that it wants to do. The third suggestion is that the board establish an Arizona Massage Therapy Board YouTube channel to house those videos, because that's just an outgrowth of doing videos is where are they going to live. So the board might want to establish a YouTube channel to do that. Another one is the development of written documents that echo that information that come out of the videos, because some people don't like to look at videos. They would just rather read, because they're speed readers. They don't want to watch a video. Along that same line, that the advisory task the advisory committee with the development of an FAQ section. That was one of Stephanie's ideas.
And that could be a document or a few documents that are in parallel with the videos and other, and then also you can do other documents that answer common questions that customers and other consumers may have. The board may have topics to add too that could be explored. Suggestion six would be that the board establish a view only Dropbox to house the written documents that were developed, you know, from motions 4 and 5 or suggestions 4 or 5. So because those documents need a place to live. And all of this is free, by the way. You can, you know, the committee can make the videos, you know, make the documents that can be loaded up to the YouTube channel or the Dropbox. So these are really, and Dropbox has a free option. So there might be that might be a thing. Then number 7 is the development of phone scripts and email templates that staff may use to increase efficiencies and enhance customer experience. That, you know, is something that could be, you know, when we've done that analysis, because that was the idea, was to do some analysis of, well, how can we work with some of the processes with the limitations that we have to help make things a little bit easier. I mean, like at the meeting yesterday, one of the things that they talked about, and see, I don't know the level of software that you have, but one of the things that the cosmetology board did was make out fillable PDFs. You know, if you don't have, you know, I don't know if you have them or not, but that's something to explore, is those fillable PDFs that can be loaded into and make it a little bit easier to upload some of that information or copy and paste information from the application into the website. Motion 8 or suggestion 8 is developing suggestions for revising and maintaining the portions of the website that are available to the staff to edit. That's something that Marcia has been talking about for a while. Also making sure that the links to all those things show up, you know, the Dropbox, the YouTube channel. Listing the frequently asked questions and a link to the documents that are housed elsewhere, but it cleans up that area that is editable for the board. Yes, we don't want to eat them. For the board to do. And again, back to the whole thing along the website redesign is to be more consumer friendly, and a template of what it could look like or will look like would be provided to the board for approval and implementation. And then there could be other things like the statutory review at some point. But again, I'm looking at, since there is not going to be a bill, and the representative was very clear that there's not going to be any major bills to help make things easier for this board to do this session, that we look at that these ideas were to prioritize what are the things that we can fix now with the resources that we have. And then again, that all that work product, the final suggestion, needs to come back to the board or the staff for final approval before final implementation. You know, the board tasks us with doing something, we do it, take it back to the board, they approve it or revise it or do whatever with it, and then rinse and repeat. So that's basically everything that's in these, except for this slide with the motion XXX, additional ones. Everything else is in a Word document, which I can convert to a PDF. To give to Tom so that he doesn't have to formulate anything. So he just has to edit it to make sense. So that's basically it, in terms of suggestions.
Gotcha.
So, I just got one quick question for Tom and then, a question. So Tom, are we allowed, to refer people either from the website right now to Alcinia for assistance? Is there a resource page or something like that that we would be able to refer for application assistance, completion assistance? Is that something that we can do?
Madam Chair, and I'm going to certainly defer here to Casey, but I believe if it's a volunteer situation as a resource, it would be permissible, but if it's a for-profit business enterprise, we would not be allowed to do that without a competitive state procurement review and so forth.
Right. Exactly.
So it would depend on the nature of the service.
Gotcha. And so this is, because all of these, especially all the technology stuff, is a great thing that, you know, could potentially be on an Alcinia website rather than the board site. Do you have a comment about that before we go on?
No, by and large, I agree with Tom. I would just say, I think what that would look like, the board would have to be careful so as not to give the appearance of endorsing or
right.
anything like that.
Right. It's just, it would be like a volunteer resource page.
Mm-hmm.
So people are, so we could immediately get up on the front page. If you need assistance with the application process, you know, here's Alcinia's link, here's Marsha's link or whatever, something like that. Like, so two or three resource links immediately, that would be something that the staff could do today to defer immediately for people to get assistance right now. We could get those links out to all of the Arizona State schools,
mm-hmm.
direct your students to these, you know, four or five resource points to get the process started. So that's something. Okay, great.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the next thing I wanted to just ask the people who are on this committee specifically, I am going to suggest that we do not become a motion-based committee, but I do think that we should, that if someone is willing to be the scribe for these meetings, that we can scribe a bulleted list of recommendations that we give to the board after this meeting with our formal suggestions, and then they can make motions or do with it as they so choose. I am concerned about ever getting confusion between board and committee and making things excessively complicated. All four, let's try to keep it as simple as possible, because recommendations are recommendations, and the board staff can, you know, do as they see fit at that point. But I don't know that this committee needs to, you know, formally try to tell the board what to do through a motion. I think it's a suggested list has equal weight. Does anybody have something else or feel strongly about the difference between making a scribed list of action steps that they would like to that we're asking them to formally direct us to do through their motions at a board meeting? Does anybody volunteer to be a scribe to be able to present that list and get it emailed out to the committee after our meetings? I'm sorry? So if we don't have a scribe,
I can do that.
You can do that?
Yeah.
Okay. So you volunteer to take the points. I absolutely love the work that Deb has done. She's already gotten, I mean, we have 6 months worth of stuff already that can be done with a team of people who have a lot of time, that you can get it done very quickly, and potentially as well, which I think is also fantastic. So thank you for volunteering for that, Stephanie, so that way we can, at the end of every meeting, it's not exactly minutes, but these are the action steps that we are making, action-related steps that we're making recommendations to the board to make motions on.
Yeah.
Does that feel fair to everybody and reasonable? Great. I cannot stress enough my gratitude for everybody's hard work. Even though it seems like sometimes communication can be challenging between all of us because of emails and we're all working in five different directions and all have multiple jobs and hats that we're wearing, I do feel like we're making a difference, and I do feel like this is progress, and I do feel like new demands have been placed on this committee, most recently to Deb's point that the bill got presented. We were blindsided by that, and it has totally overtaken everything that we've been doing. And I do feel like no matter where things land in the end, we will all be better for having gone through this process. I am very hopeful that Representative Dunn and the others that said that they were open to keeping us in the healthcare field, whether it's under the Department of Health or somewhere else, continues to go forward. But immediately solving the operational versus administrative issues, trying to work on both operational and administrative issues simultaneously, is also a wise use of our time. And I would maybe add to our bulleted list that we sit down and make a list of the operational issues where our hands are tied. Even if no one is willing to take action on it now, it would be something that would be useful for the whatever board we are combined with in the future if we are not able to remain alone. Because if those things don't get fixed, we will continue to still have issues. So thinking short-term and long-term simultaneously. What's everyone's tolerance for having another meeting sometime next week after the board meeting, sometime sooner versus later? Yes, ma'am?
I just have a couple of suggestions or maybe ideas to ponder on. I know we have the sunset audit coming up. That's another thing I feel like we really need to discuss, and I was kind of hoping we could discuss that today, but I know we're running out of time. But I have a suggestion that maybe we should think about doing two meetings soon, and one of them just focused on the sunset audit and nothing else. And then maybe we do another one that's just focused on talking about statutory review.
I have no issue with that. If we can be prepared in time with information and ideas, yes.
I know we're working on a lot of things, but I feel like it might be a good idea to just have two separate meetings that just discuss those two things, because, I mean, those are major things that are coming up that, we really need to do. So.
Right. I would like to propose that we do the statutory one first and the sunset second, because of the potential that the sunset has been moved to 2028 if we are combined with somebody else, So let me just look at my calendar here really quickly. Yes, ma'am. Sir. Sorry.
While you're doing that, Stephanie, there is no sunset audit for the massage board. That would have to be happening this year because the board expires next year. And there's not any legislation this year to continue the board past June 30th. So if and when the board goes to cosmetology, they are going through a sunset process, which will be required before they expire on June 30th of 26. But if this board would have been going through a sunset, it would have already been notified. For those of you that are speaking, Representative Dunn, I indicate that there was a statement made that I had not responded to the Auditor General, or the board had not responded. Actually, if you listen to the transcripts of the last few board meetings, I had told the board that we had not heard, which was rather surprising, of when the auditors would be coming in calendar 24 to do the audit. So there is no audit of the massage board.
Thank you for that clarification, because I had no idea about that.
Gotcha. Okay, so then I guess we don't need that. So the statutory review list of changes needed meeting then is a good idea. We would need to have one meeting after the board. If the board is going to make motions on Monday to charge us with specific tasks, we should be prepared to receive that information next week and have a meeting focused on what they're and come up with an action plan for who's going to do what, when, where, and how, and then potentially have a follow-up meeting after that regarding statutory information. Any other suggestions or ideas around that? Okay, so and I also want to, I know this was a big meeting today, so we definitely took a lot of extra time. I really do work very hard to make sure our meetings stay within an hour so that we are not, taking Tom and Tony away from things that they need to be doing as well, not to mention all of our own personal lives, our business lives. So next week, The meeting is on Monday, the 26th. So generally speaking, I was told that Garnet Adair could be present on Mondays or Wednesdays. So Wednesday, the 28th, I can make myself available again at 9 or 10 a.m. Or Friday, the 1st. Does anybody have conflicts or suggestions about another time other than Wednesday, the 28th?
I can do the 28th.
I'll make myself available whenever you guys need me.
Thank you. Deb, how does Wednesday look for you?
That's doable for me as well.
Okay. We've been making it at 10 a.m. Is that best, or should we move it earlier to 9 a.m. or 9:30 a.m.?
I like 10 a.m.
I'm sorry?
I said I like 10 a.m.
You like 10? Okay. Yeah, I figured it gives the board staff a chance to at least get in and open everything and see what they, you know, see if there's anything pressing before they have to jump on this call with us. Okay, so next Wednesday, the 28th, 10 a.m. Is the next meeting date, 10 to 11 a.m., and we will see what the board has motioned us to do.
Sounds good.
All right. Excellent. Thank you all, and I look forward to talking to you next week.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.